Okay, my friends. So today we are going to read a story that it's a very interesting story. It's about a very specific place. Now, if you live in the Pacific Northwest, you're going to be like, oh yeah! And if you don't live in the Pacific Northwest area of the United States, you might be like, what? So let's talk about what this is and let's discover some interesting things. Today's story is called If You Want to Visit a Sea Garden. It was written by Kay Wiseman. It's illustrated by Roy Henry Vickers. And if you do not know what a sea garden is, let's talk about it, right? They have them in Canada as well, all along the Pacific Northwest. Ready? Here we go. If you want to visit a sea garden, oh wait, you're right. I'm sorry, friends. I almost forgot the most important part. Today's story is read by Mommy and
Goo
Goo. Goo Goo. Like what a baby says, Goo Goo Kaka?
Goo Goo.
Yep, there he is.
Goo Goo.
Mommy and Goo Goo. You ready?
Goo Goo.
Here we go. If you want to visit a sea garden, you'll have to get up really early. These magical gardens only reveal themselves at the lowest tides. In the summer months, those often happen at the break of day. Do you know when break of day is? It's when the morning wakes up and the sun first starts to break across the sky. So, hop into the boat, zip up your life jacket. Do you see the watermarks along the shore left by the last high tide? Now, do you know what a tide is? Mm-hmm. Can you explain what a tide is to our friends? That's right. It is when the water pulls back or pushes forward against the shore. We see waves, right? The waves come and crash on the shore. Mm-hmm. Well, as the earth rotates and turns and gravity pulls on it, the waves get bigger or smaller depending on the time of day. And that's what a tide is. Now, we'll anchor in a safe place. The tide will rise while we're here, and we don't want our boat to float away. And in the pictures, we can see this little boy and his dad are not the only people out. There are other people out on the beach in the early mornings. Listen closely for the symphony of clams welcoming us to their beach. Here and there and everywhere, they spurt and sputter, exhaling right on cue. Did you know that clams spurt water? They do.
Goo-goo.
Yep.
Goo-goo-goo-goo. I said like the episode of Bluey Beach.
Yep. Just like in the episode of Bluey, when they go to the beach, they see them squirting water out too. A lot of shellfish will do that. Step carefully so you don't slip on the rocks. Many of them are covered in barnacles, which are tiny creatures that live inside of sharp shells. And those sharp shells can cut you right up if you're not careful. So you gotta be very, very careful when you walk on slippery things. Stroll to the edge of the water and look at the reef up close. For thousands of years, the first peoples have constructed these architectural wonders. Some reefs have been built all at once. Others have developed over time as people clear boulders while digging for clams. But both do their job, creating a healthy habitat for sea life. Now, first peoples are capitalized here. Why do you suppose that is? Can you think of any reason? Yeah, not really sure. Well, this story is actually quite a very interesting story because this is about a reef that was constructed by humans. Uh-huh. That's right. The first people are their ancestors from long ago. This wasn't made. Reefs are often made of coral or sea creatures that have created their own little ecosystem. But these reefs were created by people. If you perch near the top of the wall, you can see creatures on both sides. Whelks and sea cucumbers and fish fry and kelp and sea stars and bad stars and hermit crabs and rock crabs and chitons and barnacles and octopuses, they all make their homes on this beach. It's a lot of creatures to live in one spot. Looking at the squirting holes that announce, clams live here. Butter clams and little necks and cockles thrive just beneath the beach under our feet. The warm, food-filled waters inside the wall are just right for growing healthy clams. Imagine the generations of first peoples who have maintained this wall in order to feed their families. So these sea gardens were created. The people who lived here knew in order to grow clams and all these different kinds of sea creatures in this area, we have to build a place for them to live. And so they did. And this was a long, long time ago, generations ago. They have come here to build and care for the sea garden and harvest and eat clams and share stories and knowledge about this special place. Now, don't forget to dig for clams. You can use a U-stick, a fork, or a shovel to collect these tasty mollusks. And we can steam some to eat now, or string them up and smoke them for later. And you can have clam chowder for dinner tonight. Yum. It's a soup. We'll need to tend our garden before we can leave. Can you help me roll the stray boulder down to the wall? I'll break up the empty clam shells and we can gently rake them into the beach. Then we can clear away the driftwood and the seaweed, and all of these things give the new clams room to grow. And they have to do all of this quickly before the tide comes back in, right? Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised at how quickly the tide changes, submerging the reef again. We can no longer see it, but the wall is still at work, creating a habitat for these creatures. So if you want to visit a sea garden, you'll have to get up really early, but it will be worth it. And that is pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah? And in the picture, in the book, my friends, there are real pictures of these sea gardens. And you can see exactly what they look like. They're clam gardens. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? And that, my friends, is the end.